Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Long time listener and supporter of you because you tell it like it is.
Here's our Royals insider, Josh Fournier.
Hey there, Mr. Vern. I have a question for you, sir. Why wasn't Cags or Carter in the lineup yesterday? I'll take your answer off the air.
Instead of Mike Yastrzemski, instead of Salvi, who did we want to replace?
Now I feel like instead a caller because I got to look. No, I know. I get it.
Well, those are the three options, right field, first base, or DH, occupied by Yastrzemski, Salvi, and Vinny. So take your pick of which one of those guys we're replacing.
I would say Yastrzemski. But I know that you're going to give me numbers as to why he's been better than both of those and deserves to be in that lineup more than both of them. So,
23rd game yesterday as the Royals leadoff hitter. His OPS is 921. Yastrzemski breaks up the no-hitter in the fourth inning. Twins were just better yesterday. Bailey Ober was better than Michael Lorenzen. Their execution on the base paths was better than your execution defensively. Yesterday was one of those games where if it's April, May, June, July, or August, you tip your cap and you move on. But when there's only 19 games to go, you feel as if you need to make it a little bit more than what it was. And what it was a tough loss where the Twins were just better, and Royals need to forget about it and get back in the winning column tonight.
You know, Vern, I don't normally do this to you, but I'm going to do this to you anyway. Tell me how I'm supposed to feel about this team, because I don't think I'm the only one that has that question about how we're supposed to feel about this team. And what I mean by that is two games back, not overpowering at all to get back into, you know, into the wild card position. You got the Texas Rangers ahead of you right now, but it just feels like there's just something missing there. Tell me how I'm supposed to feel, my man.
Yeah. As far as something missing, it's Cole Ragans and Chris Bubich and lately Bobby Witt Jr. So yeah, that has anyone concerned. And Bobby takes the flight last night. We'll see how he's feeling today. Hopefully the back spasms have subsided and you can get the great number 7 back in the lineup. As far as how to feel, lately it seems to me as if there's way too many Kansas City sports fans that are consistently laying this ultimatum at the feet of the Royals of win this game or I'm done. Win this game or I'm admitting that you can make the playoffs and I'm turning all my attention to the Chiefs. It's almost as if way too many Kansas City sports fans are like holding this gun at the head of the Royals saying, I'm going to pull it. I'm going to pull it and be done with you. And you've been saying it for 3 weeks. So how about set the gun down? You have 19 games to go. You are a big league city, right? You can handle having a really good football team with Super Bowl expectations and a good baseball team that still has postseason expectations. As far as how you should feel about it is, in my opinion, show up every single night, hoping for the best. But if you're setting yourself up for if they fall short of the postseason, then my heart's going to be broken. I don't know how you can be there after 143 games this season. You, it's a good team. It's not a great team. It's obviously not a division championship team. But if you can get into the dance, you have the capabilities of being a hot team. And being a hot team in October can lead you all the way to the World Series, right? Bobby's going to be back. Cole Ragans, if you saw what he did yesterday, mm-hmm. He looks like he's ready to come back. I'd like to see him against the Phillies. I don't think he needs another rehab start, even if it's only 4 innings. If he has to serve more as an opener and then hand things off to a Michael Lorenzen, I'd be perfectly fine with that. Hunter Harvey, Steven Cruz can be reinforcements in that bullpen. You saw the great at-bats as Dusty brings up Jack Caglione and Carter Jensen yesterday in the 9th inning. So if you can just get in there, everything that's happened over the past 6 months is erased. The disappointing month of June, the falling short of winning the division title. Suddenly everybody's 0-0. You'll likely be facing the Houston Astros for 3 games in the juice box down in H-Town. You'll be the large underdogs. You'll have nothing to lose, and you'll have Bobby Witt Jr. on your side. So it should be a lot of fun if they can get there. It's not going to be easy, and it starts tonight in Cleveland. So as far as how to feel, to me, that really comes back to what type of a sports fan are you? Are you one that remembers a time in which the 8th of September was all about football? Football and only football. Well, you have your wish, right? Less than 3 weeks left in the Major League Baseball season. The Royals are still in it. Mm-hmm. Matt Quatrero has a chance to become just the fourth manager in franchise history to take this team to the postseason in back-to-back years to go along with everything that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are doing. Throwing at everything else, and it's maybe the best time to be alive in Kansas City.
Yeah, you look at the wild card standings, and I know that we do this a lot. Maybe it's not good for my mental health, but Texas is a game and a half behind Seattle. You're two games behind Seattle. And those Guardians that you play this week for three games, they're just a half game behind the Royals, sitting two and a half behind Seattle. Before that big series comes up in about a week from now against the Mariners, you kind of want to be, I guess, a little bit closer than two. So that makes this series against, and I know every series is huge and wins are wins when you get into this part of the season, but what do you need to do against this Cleveland team where you're throwing out maybe two inexperienced starters in the season and then you get Michael Wacha on the third game?
Yeah. And then Steven Kolek, who all he's done is throw quality start after quality start. So you look at the pitching matchup and, yeah, you certainly like Wacha in Game 3. I'll give Cleveland the advantage in the finale. But the two lefties coming up tomorrow night and Noah Cameron and Joey Cantillo, I'll lean towards our rookie and Noah Cameron. And tonight, Ryan Burgert. This guy's been outstanding. What do they need to do? They need to get Bobby Witt Jr. back. So it all starts there, right? It all starts with how Bob feels when he shows up to that terrible ballpark in that terrible city. Hopefully he's feeling good. So you need Bobby. It all starts there, or else we're back to where we were last year, where we're putting all the pressure on three bats. And instead of it being Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi, it would be Michael, Vinny, and Salvi. You saw it yesterday. Those guys combined to go 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. That coupled with the fact that Bailey Ober was just really good. That's why you ended up losing that game. They need to win in Cleveland. They need to just play a quality brand of baseball. I mean, the thing that I'll be looking for, the reason why I was on with Cody and Gold like 4 weeks ago, and we're looking at the wild card standings, and they say, Vern, do you believe anybody in this race the Royals are better than? And my answer was no. I think Cleveland, I think Texas, I think Seattle, I think they're all better than the Royals for different reasons. And the reason why I thought Cleveland was better is I thought they played with more of a reckless abandon. I thought they ran the bases with more confidence. I thought they attacked the game. Detroit attacks the game. Milwaukee attacks the game. The 2015 Kansas City Royals attack the game. They take the win. They put you on your heels right out of the gate. That's what I want to see from this team. I don't want to see, easing into the game, right? You saw it just a few days ago. When was that? Saturday's contest. They jump out to that 5-0 lead on Joe Ryan. And, it's not even just the 3-run home run from Salvi, but there was a sense in which the Royals' offense, every time it seemed as if they were done spanking the tail of the Minnesota Twins and the Twins were going to walk away, Royals bats would grab them. Go get back over here. I'm not done with you. Let me continue to hammer that backside. And that's what I want to see. Sure, you put up one crooked number. Stay relentless. Continue to grind those at-bats. That's what they did all afternoon on Sunday. Continue to take their walks, even though they're up by 5 or 6 runs. Really bury the opposition. I think that's the type of confidence boost this team could take into Philadelphia. Is go into Cleveland. At worst, you got to split the series. But most importantly, attack the game, right? Don't wait for Cleveland to give it to you. Because I hope nobody's going to give the playoff spot to the Royals, even though last year that's exactly what happened. The Royals fell ass backwards into that 6th and final American League playoff spot. That could easily happen again, as the Mariners have been gagging for about a month now. But to me, who's going to go take it? Royals have the ability to do it. It's just on them to go do it.
What do you make about Lugo? We asked Q last week if he was okay, seemed to think he was, and then he went on the DL the next day. Yeah. How concerned are you?
Yeah, very concerned. We're talking about 2025, very concerned. you know, Seth Lugo, if you go back and you look at his history dating back to right after he was drafted by the New York Mets, he underwent like a 12-hour back surgery and was bedridden for months. So it is certainly not something that you just brush aside when Seth Lugo's dealing with a back issue. But I don't have a ton of confidence that he'll be back and back to his all-star form if and when he does return. As far as 2026 and the contract that he signed, I'm not really sweating that, and I don't think I'm going to sweat that until I hear or infer that the Royals are hesitant to spend money on X because they spent so much money on Seth Lugo. Until that contract is the reason why you're not spending more money, good for Lugo and his family. I'm glad they have a bunch more money. I'm glad that John Sherman signed him. So long-term concern, I'm not that worried about Seth Lugo. But for a team that we thought coming into the season was going to be led by its rotation, that obviously is no longer the case. And even if Cole Reagans comes back, you're not a team that's looking to its rotation to lead you in the postseason. To me, which is crazy to say with how bad this offense was for the first 100 games, if this team's going to October, if they're going to make noise in the postseason, it's going to be because of those bats. Yastrzemski and Michael, Bobby Vinny, Salvi, Adam Frazier, Jack Caglione. Suddenly, to me, this Royals offense is going to be the reason why they fall short or the reason why we have another October to remember.
Last one, as we went too long, but I want to give it to you. Same gun that those Royals fans hold, gun to your head. What happens? Binkley wins the season-long betting the Royals make the playoffs?
Binkley wins.
Damn it. Yeah. All right, Vern. We'll hear you tonight, awesome. And we'll get ready for this series against Cleveland.
All right, talk Chiefs, guys.
Okay. We'll talk Chiefs on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Isaiah Pacheco, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
You want to go to Ireland?
I've always wanted to go to Ireland. I want to go back to, I guess Scotland is my homeland, but, you know, Scotland, Ireland.
You want to go to Ireland, Mac?
Yeah, for sure.
You want to go see the Chiefs play in Ireland next year?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do that. Let's book that. Because the Irish Independent is reporting this morning that the Kansas City Chiefs have stated their ambition to play in Ireland in 2026, with a team executive telling the Irish Independent that, quote, we hope to be chosen to play in Ireland next season. These comments from Laura Krug, Chiefs chief marketing officer. She says, as we're trying to become the world's team, we want to play internationally. Who gets to play internationally is really the league's decision as to the schedule every year, but we always have our hand raised to participate. We hope to be chosen to play in Ireland next season, Krug said. Clark Hunt, our chairman and CEO, sits on the international committee. That has really been a key pillar of our organization from the very beginning when we played preseason games all over the world. So between growing flag football, doing content around the world, and building media partners, we're interested in Ireland, she added.
So, can I take the low road here and be the text line?
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with the Hollywood tour. Yep. I'm done with the...
I don't disagree with that.
Okay. I'm gonna say this real quick. Yeah, I'm done with showing yourself in Ireland and Brazil and Mexico and Australia and London. I'm done with that. Can we get back to what got us here? Humbling, exciting football.
Football.
Well, like I'm done with the Hallmark movies. I'm done with the engagement's over. The story's great. They're married. They're gonna get married. That's fine. I don't need to see them go be the world's team anymore. I want to get back to being the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, you're going to not like this part of the story then, too, right? Because on September 28th, there's going to be a game in Ireland, and the Chiefs are setting up an immersive experience known as Chiefs House in Dublin leading up to the game on September 28th. And with that, they've unveiled their new international mascots this morning. And they have now released themed KC Wolf mascots for four different countries in Europe. Ireland is the first one. KC O'Wolf is now the mascot in Ireland. KC O'Wolf is now the mascot in Ireland. In the UK, it's Casey Wolfington. He is now the mascot, Casey Wolfington, in the United Kingdom. In Germany, do you want to guess what Casey Wolf's going to be coined in Germany?
Goose and Wolf.
Casey Wolfgang.
Wolfgang.
Casey Wolfgang.
Let's go.
And in Spain, he's going to be Casey Lobazo.
Mm.
So they now have four different Casey Wolf mascots that they are unveiling in four different countries over there. And so while you say you're done with the Hollywood, and I don't disagree, sometimes it's okay just to play your games at Arrowhead, and it's not that big a deal, right?
You've done your tour.
They've done it. It's not stopping. And they understand that they've got a certain moment in time, as long as number 15 is playing, to capitalize on this. Because you know what's going to happen when Patrick Mahomes retires, right? We all know what's going to happen when Patrick Mahomes retires. What happens to every team when their number one quarterback of all time retires? You go back to being a normal, everyday, ordinary football team, right? And so they've got to capitalize, I would imagine, 8 to 10 years of prime playing years left for Patrick Mahomes, if you want to do it that way. And so you've got to do everything you possibly can at this point in time to build that fan base up all over the world. So when he does leave, not everybody disappears and you still have your fan base out there.
I think they've done a good enough job of that already.
I think they have too, yeah.
Mahomes is worldwide. He doesn't need to keep going worldwide. You know what? Send Josh Allen, send Lamar Jackson, send those guys over there. Let them get their taste of it. I think it's a huge disadvantage. You've done your time. It's becoming stale. I don't care anymore. I know I sound like a grouchy old ass, but what I'm saying is I think a lot of people agree with this. Like, it's just, I'm over it. I don't need to go to, you know, the new world stage to show the Chiefs. Football runs the world. People watch football. If you don't believe it, go back and listen to the Klingler interview. There were people in that stadium that had all sorts of jerseys. I don't need to be told that you need to play these games because they need to sell it worldwide. I'm over that. I get it. Like the Kansas City Chiefs, let's just play here. We know what they are. They were in Happy Gilmore 2. They were on every Hallmark movie, whatever that was that year, a Chiefs Christmas. They've been in commercials. That's enough. Let somebody else take this. Let somebody else have their shine. Josh Allen's a superstar. Lamar Jackson's a superstar. Hell, I could make J.J. McCarthy a superstar in Brazil. I'm done with this world tour BS. Like, it's cool to see it, right? It's cool to see all this happen because before, like you'd mentioned, when it was Matt Castle and Damon Heward and whatever his face with Brody Croyle and all these guys, like, yeah, you were pining to get that notification. We've gotten it now. We've seen it. Now let's get back because the more you have games like this in Brazil, the more that narrative goes back to, well, maybe they aren't that team anymore. Why are we sending them to Brazil? Well, they have Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, they do. Of course they do. They've had Patrick Mahomes. They played in Germany. They played in Mexico City. Well, they tried to, and they've tried to play these games. And to me, it's just, it's done. It's ran its course. It's tiresome. It's stale. Get back to what you were. Go. It's okay. You made all your publicity stuff. You've done it. Now let's just get back to what this team is, and that's bringing the number one fan base to the games. That's rubbing in the face of when you beat teams. That's hearing the roar of the crowd. That's having your local team play locally instead of globally. You've done it. You've had your tour. Artists don't go on world tours every year. They do it once every 3 or 4, and then they do their United States tour. They're a United States artist. That's just how it works. So, again, I don't need to see it anymore. I'm done with it. I'm over that. All yeah, that sort of stuff.
And it's just going to become bigger and bigger, though, because it's no longer about the sports. I mean, and that's what I've been trying to tell people for years. This hasn't been about the sports for years in the NFL. They have figured out a way to generate ungodly amounts of revenue. And for all intents and purposes, they're tapped out in the United States of growing revenues, right? Like, where else could you grow an NFL revenue? I mean, they're selling ads on the highway, for God's sakes, right? Like, they've tapped out everything. And so Roger Goodell, I guess it was, told these owners he was going to make this a $25 billion a year entity by 2030 or whatever it is. And they're well on their way. And they're not going to stop going overseas when they continue to get the crowds that they want. And the crowds that are insane, that are packed out. And, you know, Clark Hunt and the Hunt family have always been on the ground floor of playing internationally. You know, Carl Peterson in the early 90s, they were going to the Tokyo Bowl. They were going to Mexico City. They were going to, you know, Canada. They were playing games on the international scene. It's always been something that they've loved to do. And the Hunt family, and I would imagine like the Rooney family, some of the old school families that have been in the NFL forever, they look at it as kind of their job to continue to move this product forward and figure out ways to continue to make it more sustainable than it was when they took over this franchise. And it's all about expanding right now. And until the crowds dissipate overseas and people don't show up anymore, well, then they'll continue to have those games. I mean, we are getting to a spot now, Dusty. I think everybody keeps saying it, right? We're going to have 16 international games. There's going to be one every single week in the NFL. Everybody's going to play a home game and a road game as an international franchise, because that's the way they look to grow revenues. And that's what it's all about. And as good as Josh Allen is and Lamar and all these guys, Patrick's still that draw, man. He's still that guy that everybody wants. And as long as Clark Hunt continues to be very bullish on the international expansion, and the Chiefs are a very good football team, they're always going to be that team that you want. Like, you don't release four new mascots in Europe today, all wearing different pairs of slacks. Very nice. I like the pants on the KC O'Wolf, the KC Wolfgang, the KC Wolfington, the KC Labazo. All of those mascots, you don't release that as a thing unless you really plan on planting your flag in Europe. And it sure as heck seems like the Chiefs have planted their flag in Europe, and this is just the beginning of not just the NFL, but of them growing globally.
Yeah. Well, there is a name that could be a popular name to bring back to the tour of Kansas City Chiefs. That is Tyreek Hill. Why not? He wants out of Miami. Miami wants him out. They took his C off of his chest. And now we have the conversation. And Mac, earlier when we brought this up, you rolled your eyes and shook your head in disgust at me, which has happened quite often. But
are you not interested in exploring this conversation?
I am not interested in Tyreek Hill one bit.
I want to know why. Tell me why.
Well,
tell me why.
Because he's a freaking D.
Well, there is that.
No, he's a total D. We don't need that sort of atmosphere here in the environment right now. We don't need that sort of energy in this team locker room right now. He would mess up chemistry. One, two, if you just talk about on the field, like we sit and trash Tyreek Hill for the last year about how he's not what he was.
Yeah.
He's not the same player. Now, because we saw our Chiefs offense look bad for 1 week, let's go back. Guys,
McCole Hardman's the easiest answer to this,
right? McCole Hardman's a much easier answer. And yes, I know the ceiling's not as high. It's not going to be as fun, but there's also the floor is much better. The floor with Tyreek Hill would be, oh, shoot, we just paid however much money Miami's not going to take the rest of that contract on to get a guy in Tyreek Hill that's not what he was and is going to be a little bit of a locker room cancer and add more hurt than help. I just think you've got Patrick Mahomes, you've got Andy Reid. This is yes, there are roster issues, which we can talk about. They can be remedied through time, patience, adjustments, and maybe a McCole Hardman addition, not let's swing for the fences after week one and panic, go get Tyreek Hill.
Right. And again, is A, Tyreek Hill available? B, what's the acquisition cost? And that doesn't even get to my C point yet. Can he come back to Kansas City? And I'm not talking from a fan standpoint. Doesn't matter what we think. I'm talking about from inside the locker room. And people will say, well, we've seen Juju come back. We've seen Kareem Hunt come back. You know, we've seen guys, you know, leave and come back. Probably McCole Hardman for a third time. Derek Nnadi, you know, coming back and all that kind of stuff. I wonder if that organization and those players, Patrick, Travis, Chris, want him back. And if they say, yeah, we're cool with him coming back, then who am I to say no? As long as those guys get that stuff worked out between them, whatever it was that ended up forcing the trade, it was obviously more than money now that we're seeing. If those guys are okay with it, then I would be okay with it, because it doesn't impact me in the way that it may have impacted those guys the way that Bengal game ended. So I've got to see what they think. Is he going to be a difference maker? I don't know. You're right. We criticized him for the last year and a half.
Now we see ourselves. Yeah. Like, oh, let's go get Tyreek. Yeah. Like, wait, what happened?
But that's because it's a name we recognize.
Of course.
You know, that's what we do in sports. And my thought immediately as soon as he went down was, is McCole Hardman on his way to Brazil? Yeah. Or will he just meet us back in Kansas City, you know?
Call up the Packers, dude. They got like 17 wide receivers, man. They got rid of Hardman for a reason.
Oh, so you want McCole Hardman back on the team?
Well, Hardman would be fine, but go get... I'm saying call up the Packers. See, like, I know Romeo Doubs played a lot yesterday, but like, they've got a Dontavian Wicks. Mm-hmm. Like, go get someone.
Who can they steal from Tennessee?
Yeah.
Anybody down there we can steal?
Oh, they like that. That one guy that I'd want, Alec Amaner, he's going to play. Never heard of him? Yeah. Can't find it? There we go.
Never heard of him.
There it is.
Somebody in the text line says, call the Saints and see if they'd be willing to get rid of Chris Olave.
Yeah, like these are not realistic conversations.
Can they call the Saints and see if they want to get rid of those uniforms? I swung and missed on that. I thought they were good when they first released them. Those uniforms look terrible on the field.
Yeah, they were kind of giving Jags vibes for sure.
I didn't like them at all field.
You could call the Saints and see what Justin Reed's up to. We know he's got a house here. Not like he has to move anywhere. Okay, man, it's probably not going to work out in New Orleans. You can come right back. Sorry, we made a mistake. What do you think this team needs more help with? Wide receiver or secondary?
Secondary.
No, I think after the first game, I'll say the secondary, but, you know.
But the help with the secondary isn't in the secondary. It's I think in the
front
four.
Exactly. It comes on the defensive line. Like, they did not pressure the quarterback at all on Friday night, right? Like, I'm not making that up.
No, they didn't get to Herbert with four. I don't know if they got him once with four.
Yeah.
They had to blitz. They had to manufacture pressure the whole nine. Even that didn't work.
And look, and a total sidebar conversation. But if we're going to have the conversation that Chris Jones is the best defensive tackle in the game today, then I need to see that.
No, I agree. I agree.
I need to see that. I need to see him making those plays. We can't just talk about Chris Jones being the best defensive tackle. He's got to go out there and be the best defensive tackle in the NFL. Holding your block, getting a quarterback pressure, that kind of stuff. The best defensive players in the game make the plays at the end.
Yep.
Micah Parsons yesterday, right?
Oh, yeah.
How did that game end? Big play on defense, right? Even Buffalo yesterday, get a big fumble, right? And recover it and give your offense the opportunity to win. Big-time defensive players make big-time plays. Derek Thomas, how many games did we watch him finish off in this town? Big-time defensive player. Lawrence Taylor, big-time defensive player. Ray Lewis, big-time defensive player. Chris Jones has made those plays. But if we're going to continue using the moniker the best defensive lineman in the NFL, then he has to be the best defensive lineman in the NFL. And I hate to put that pressure on him, but hey,
no,
you've earned it. You've been the best defensive lineman in the NFL.
Also, if you're going to pay George Karlaftis that money in the offseason, I'd like to see the production of George Karlaftis. Again, it's 1 week. I get it. But it just there were a lot of major concerns that I think could be season-long concerns.
And I think it's okay to be concerned.
Yeah, it's
doesn't mean you're overreacting. It doesn't mean your sky is falling. It's okay to be frustrated. We've watched this team for a long time. We've harped on the same things now for three. It's okay to have some frustration, some pent-up little bit like, hey, I thought this was going to be different. That's okay. It still can be. Hopefully it will be.
Yeah, I just need to see more out of that defensive line. They spent draft picks. They spent offseason money. You got guys in there that can make plays. Let's see it.
I mean, yeah, Joe Alt. Well, I know Joe Alt's awesome, but that's his first NFL game at left tackle. He looked like Willie Ralph.
And they had a backup guard in there because the starter was puking on the sidelines.
Mekhi Becton,
What about the guy? So what is it? You can slap a guy in the face with an open fist and still stay in the game? Is that me being a Bias fan? Like, should he not have been ejected?
I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
he hit him.
And then the Chiefs get all the calls, but there was a massive holding call that went around
That's
the corner
ridiculous.
When the corner came through the side and they held him on his shoulder. They didn't call it, but the Chiefs get all the calls?
That'd be the top story, if that was turned around.
I mean, I'm just trying to think about, like, excuses that we would normally get from the other fan bases if I'm going to overreact.
Oh, yeah, if that was a Chief and he didn't get thrown out of the game, forget about it.
I had a buddy that said this exact same line. He goes, that was Chris Jones who did that, he'd have been ejected.
Yeah, well, Chris Jones got ejected against the Colts, and we still don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, or penalized or
he
whatever.
He was a meanie.
Right? Yeah. So that guy, after that open-fisted slap, how many open-fisted plays did he make in that game, too, right? Like, afterwards, they kept talking about it.
He was huge in that game, T.R. Tart. 816, you want MVS, Tony, and Sky back, too?
That's what we said.
Okay.
Yep. I'd love to have him back. That's exactly what we said. So, Dusty, you're out on the season after one game? I said that,
too. You know
what?
I don't like cauliflower. So you don't like broccoli, carrots, corn? You don't eat vegetables?
Hell, man.
I didn't say that. I said I don't like cauliflower. So by me saying that means I don't like all vegetables. Yeah. We're looking for a solution. Sometimes the solutions are right there. Mecole Hardman is not on a team right now.
Yep.
He knows the offense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple phone call. Hey, you want the league mini? Get over here. Okay, fine, done. And he knows the playbook. There's no learning curve. The quarterback obviously feels comfortable through a game-winning touchdown pass in the biggest game to the man.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the easiest. Now, sometimes the easiest aren't the best, but for this week, I'd absolutely have Mecole Hardman on speed dial here. Mm. You need somebody.
Yeah, because the 816 right here, we're seriously a Hollywood Brown injury away from being dead.
You'd have Thornton, Juju, Royals, who I think might be back.
Hopefully.
Right? Hopefully he's back.
Brownlee?
Do that say it out loud test. Juju, Brownlee, and Thornton are your wide receiver rooms. I mean, I don't think it's Hardman is your thing. I think, you know, you need to run the ball more effectively. You need somebody back there that can be an elusive back. And you just also have to just stay healthy. Because, I mean, they were like, yeah, throw the ball. You're not going to run it. And if you do, you're not going to go very far. And that's exactly what the Chargers did. And then they held onto the ball for 6 minutes longer than the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get off the field on third downs. DJ talked about third downs. Come on now.
And I'll tell you what, the NFL is a watch, rewind, and watch system. Philadelphia Eagles are watching that Super Bowl game and they're watching that Los Angeles Chargers game. And they're like, find something that's different, because there's a lot of fans out there that were like, nothing has changed. And if Philadelphia sees that, it's going to be a long week too. That's all I'm saying. There are a lot of concerns that are worth talking about, because you get 17 of these. Now we've got 16 of them. That was one. So yeah, there are concerns. There are reasons to talk about this. No, the season is not over. No, I'm not worried about the season. Quit putting words in my mouth. I am just concerned with what I saw on Friday night after a team came out and said, we're ready. This is a revenge tour. Hell of a mic drop from Isaiah Pacheco. You know the word revenge? You know the word tour? We're on a revenge tour. Mm-hmm. You looked like you were still back then in the past.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, it's like the Royals told us. They were a playoff team, right? And they haven't played like a playoff team. Now, they still got a great chance to make the playoffs. It's a long season. The same thing with the Chiefs. They said they were on a revenge tour, right? That's their words, not ours.
Mm-hmm.
That's their words, not ours. They sure as hell didn't play like they were on a revenge tour. I need them to play with more of a chip now. Now you've got the opportunity to be that team that everybody's talking smack on. Because I promise you, this week, how many people are going to be picking the Chiefs to win a football game against the Eagles?
Not a lot.
Nobody, other than probably me. But I'm being serious about that. All week nationally,
right.
The Chiefs could start 0-2. The Chiefs aren't going to be good. The Eagles are going to go in there and they're going to dominate. And oh my God, it's going to be a Super Bowl this and a Super Bowl that. Fans will be leaving early. All that kind of nonsense that we're going to see. This is going to be a week where the Nationals do go after the Chiefs. And this week they have a right to. This week they have a right to go after the Chiefs. For the way that they played from a defensive standpoint, right? They have a right to pick apart this organization for what they saw out there on the field. Now, will the Chiefs play with that chip and utilize that to really be on a revenge tour? Because if you're going to say you're on a revenge tour, you better damn well be on a revenge tour, right? That was not a revenge tour. That was like the warm-up act. Hopefully the revenge tour begins this week against the Philadelphia Eagles. And there is something to be said for that. It's a sweet look-ahead game. You know, opening day at Arrowhead.
Yep.
Fox is already going to be on location with a 2-hour pregame show on Sunday instead of an hour. They're bringing the entire operation to Kansas City like it's a primetime Sunday night, Monday night, you know, Thursday night game. So they'll be here. The buzz is going to be here. Maybe we just chalk it up to a big time look ahead that they were just looking for the Eagles out of the chute and totally forgot about a team that they usually just find a way to beat.
We'll get to the Brio Show of the weekend on the other side and wrap up this show here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is George Karlaftis, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Diving right back into it. Coming up after us, Cody and Gold and Drew from 10 to 2. Drew is somebody that you're not going to want to listen to today.
I know.
If you hate Cincinnati, he's out there clapping his hands. We got to win.
Hey, good. They did.
He said everything's falling apart in the Chiefs' kingdom. You guys are overreacting. You guys now know what it's like. He's happy, man. He's on a high horse.
Yeah. Good spot to do radio today for him, huh?
Yeah. And then Alex Gold immediately goes, Joe Burrow had 2 passing yards in the second half.
That's exactly right. Yeah, like if you're Cincinnati, you got the win, that's all that matters, but you can't be thinking to yourself you're a contender based on that one. You're 2 bad field goals away from losing that game to the Cleveland Browns on the over. You won, that's fine. You got your 1-0. It's better than what the Chiefs' record is at this point in time. But I think if you're walking away from that game, you're looking at the Bengals and you're looking at the Chiefs, you're like, I probably think the Chiefs got more upside than the Bengals. I mean, the Browns signed some guy off the street. He shanked 2 field goals for them.
But Drew told me the Browns only averaged 2 yards a carry.
There you go.
Bengals defense is back.
Worst defense in the league, but we looked good yesterday. Mike, he was over there clapping about Mike Pinnell.
Mike Pinnell, dude.
Yeah, dude. He's going to be fun, so that ought to be interesting.
That'll be great.
Yeah, it should be great when it comes to that. So, anyways, brioche of the weekend. Mac, your name is on there first, so why don't you go ahead and give us your brioche of the weekend, but before you do that...
Yeah, it's all presented by the Sheet Metal Workers, number 2 for the high school game of the week. Every Friday, we'll announce the winner of the high school game of the week, and the winner of that game will get a $750 check from the Sheet Metal Workers Union for their high school booster club. All week, you can vote on that high school game of the week at PrepsKC.com, and then on Friday we'll announce the winning game, and that winner will have $750 in their coffers. Man, it's awesome what the Sheet Metal Workers number 2 are doing.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah, yeah. Good take. Easy weekend to have a brioche of the weekend, man. So much fun. Other than that Friday night Chiefs game, I know if you're a KU fan, maybe that Saturday afternoon, but that was a great game.
It was a fun game.
It was a fun game, dude. If you were going to that game as a KU fan or an MU fan, even if we don't win this game, I'm going to be pissed. Well, come on. It's one of those games where it's going to go either way. It's a rivalry game. It was fun. A lot of fun football this weekend, but for me, man, it all ended with Bills Ravens. That was one of the best games I've watched in a long, long time. In my life, that was one of the best football games I've ever seen. It was incredible.
Wow, a week 1 regular season game you're putting high. Wow, all right.
One of the best games I've ever seen in my life. One of the most fun times I've had, too, just because it was impeccable offense for the most part, right? Derrick Henry fumble, some miscues here and there, but Josh Allen is... I don't have more fun watching a quarterback other than the 15, man. And
yeah, but Allen's good.
Allen's so damn good, man. He's good at every...
But can we stop having the conversation about who's number 2 to Patrick Mahomes?
No, it's not close.
It's over.
I've said it since I've gotten on these airwaves. It is 1, small gap. 2, big gap. You can talk about the rest of it. But Josh Allen is that guy, man. He just is. He's incredible. And, I mean, we're talking about Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Josh Palmer. He makes it work, dude. He's great. Brioche.
Yeah, he really is. He really is.
Seems like a good guy, too.
Yeah, a guy that you'd root for. You know, it pains me.
I know. I hate saying it, man, but he's good.
Our team didn't quit. I mean, I think there's people that left the stadium. That's okay. We'll be fine, but have some faith next time.
Mm. Savage. Mm-hmm. Love it, man.
I brought that southern accent out, too.
At first, I thought it was Mahomes.
Me, too.
I was like, is that Patrick? We didn't quit. And what is that from? It did sound like Patrick, though, a little bit, right? Play it again.
Okay. Let me go back to it.
Our team didn't quit.
Right?
I mean, I think there's people that left the stadium. That's okay. We'll be fine, but have some faith next time.
I love it. Team didn't quit.
It sounded just like Patrick.
I really thought that was.
Our team didn't quit. Our team didn't quit.
Next thing you know, Dylan Raiola is going to change his number to 17.
Oh, no. Dylan Raiola.
I'm joking.
Our team didn't quit. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Who you got this weekend? I kind of like where you're headed, I think.
My bridge of the weekend is Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks. Thank you so much for kicking the absolute, hold on, Des, for absolutely waxing Mike Gundy and Oklahoma State. They paved they do all this stuff, man. And then you got absolutely waxed by Oregon.
69-3 was the final,
right?
That's
right, yeah. 69-3.
Smash.
We paid a win was Dan Lanning's response, the local guy here. My brioche of the week goes to those Oregon Ducks for absolutely laying the wood on Mike Gundy and the Oklahoma State Cowboys, or as Vern would say, attack the backside, or whatever he said.
You know, it's funny. Our friend Billy Coons is reporting this morning that he thinks, Mike Gundy may not make it the entire season down there. That's a guy whose time has kind of run out. It's been 20 some years, man. Like, your time has kind of run out.
And we can all agree that we were right about Mike McDaniels being the first coach fired.
Did he get fired?
No, but he will be.
Feels good.
GG's, Mike.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah, I thought he got fired already. Wow, they didn't wait on that.
It's coming, though.
Oh, no.
It's coming.
My brioche of the weekend going to my friends Laura and Josh, who got married over the weekend. Woo! That was a wedding that I was at where, my goodness, you could feel the love in that room from the bride and groom. It was awesome. It was so much fun to watch them get married. So much fun to watch him watch her walk down the aisle, the smiles, all that kind of stuff, Mac, that you got to look forward to and whatnot. I like watching the groom when the bride comes down and all the smiles and the tears and all that great stuff. Yes. And kind of reaching the end, but knowing you made the right decision. And Josh and Laura are awesome. What an amazing couple they are. The love that they have for so many people. Josh, of course, is from Smokehouse Barbecue. His family owns it. And they do so many great things in the community for everybody. And it was so much fun just to watch the love that the two of them had for each other. It's very, very rare to see that on display. And I was so glad to be there and be part of that. So I want to thank them for what a great weekend that turned out to be. And now they're off on their honeymoon. So that's fun, too.
Yes. Where they went?
Greece.
Ooh, shoot.
Brioche.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, that's awesome. That'll be sick, man.
That's a bucket list for them. Item. That's where the Chiefs will play in 2 years.
They might.
Oh, yeah.
He's pretty bitter.
They'll probably play on a naval ship in the middle of the ocean, too.
Oh, I would love that. Remember when we did the basketball game on that? Duke played North Carolina, I think it was, on the Navy ship.
I do remember that.
I wonder if you could do a football game on it. You couldn't do baseball. Too many balls get lost in the ocean. But I think you could probably do it. I mean, I don't know. Could you do a football game on a Navy ship? Don't give him any ideas.
This is Roger Goodell right now. Yep.
You think we could put a field on the moon?
No, they're going to play in the sphere. And you can watch it on the outside and the inside.
Damn it. That's a good idea.
Oh, no. Vertigo at its finest.
Hello. Go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy. Cody, Golden, Drew coming up next from 10 to 2. We'll talk to you tomorrow.